Sorry I'm late, everybody.
Darlene, do you know if, we'll come back to the minutes later.
Okay.
We just have to make sure everybody here was at those meetings.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay. Finally. Good morning, everyone. This is, apologies for the delay. This is the June 28, 2019 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It's 9:52 a.m. Thank you for being here. We'll come back to the minutes a little bit later. First up on the move up agenda is E1.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to read the standard contested case statement. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request the contested case after the decision. It's up to you. Any request must be made orally by the end of the meeting and followed up in writing within 10 days. If no request for contested case is made, the board will make a decision and the department will treat it as final and proceed accordingly. E1.
Good morning, members of the board. Kurt Cottrell, Administrator, Division of State Parks. This is a very straight-up submittal pursuant to our rules in order to have commercial transactions for this awesome community event. We just need board approval for the ability for the vendors to sell the foods and shirts. I do have a representative here from the Wahiwa Community-Based Development Organization if you have any deeper questions in terms of the way the event's going to work.
Okay, questions, board members? Okay. Does the representative want to say something or just be available for questions? Any other testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve E1 as submitted?
So moved as with staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, mahalo.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, next up is K1.
Thank you, Chair, Board Members, Sam Limo, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands. This is a request for a public hearing on a petition to amend Title 13, Chapter 5, HAR, to essentially amend an existing conservation district subzone. Landowner, petitioner is Castle Medical Center, DBA Adventist Health Center, Just real quickly, as you may well know, the property is currently in a special subzone, the Hawaii Lowell College special subzone. It's used by Hawaii Pacific University as a college campus. The property, however, is currently owned by Castle Medical Center. They purchased the property. They're currently leasing it back to HPU until 2020, subject to 2 1-year options to extend. Because hospital use is not consistent with the current subzone designation, which is for educational purposes, they need to change that. And so there's a couple ways to do that. One is to change the zoning, change the subzone to general subzone, which would then allow them to apply for the medical center use. Another way is to change the name of the subzone from Waialoa College Special Subzone to something such as Castle Medical Center Special Subzone. And so I think that option's on the table. So basically, today we're here to get your authorization to go out for public hearing, which is a requirement in a rule amendment process. There's 4 points in the recommendation. Approve the petitioner's request to process the petition. Authorize the forwarding of the request for public hearing on the proposed rule amendment to the governor. Publish a hearing notice on a public hearing. And then appoint a representative of the board to be the hearing officer to run the public hearing, and I'm available for any questions you might have on this.
Okay, board members, questions? Okay, one. No questions. Okay. Anybody want to add anything? Does the applicant want to add anything?
I just want to point out in the staff report.
Sorry, your name, if you do.
Sure, my name is Bart Halcombe. I'm an attorney for Castle. And just a technical issue, I think we need to actually amend the 13-5-15 accomplish the change. That's just a technical comment, not a substantive comment.
I understand the change that's necessary.
That's in recommendation number one.
Yeah.
13-15?
13-5-15.
Correct.
Sorry, just to be clear, are we amending the recommendation?
No, we're
okay.
Not. It's a, there's, the other thing I want to mention, there is a technical correction that we need to make when we do the rule amendment, and basically what happened was, in addition to what council said, when we did the last rule amendment, we forgot to include an amendment date in of the subzone in the applicable section in the rule, and so we'll take care of that on this round of rule amendments.
Okay, thanks. So the recommendation stands. Any other testimony on this? Okay, if not, is there a motion to approve K1 as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is M18.
Jessica Z, I'm a property manager for the DOT Harbors Division, and I'm available here for any questions.
Okay. Oh, shoot. My link isn't working. My link is not working. Is yours working?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any questions on this? Okay, any public testimony on M18? If not, is there a motion to approve M18?
So moved, as staff's recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
I pulled it on my Dropbox. I'm not online.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've seen it before, obviously. Okay, next up is D8.
Good morning, board members. Russell Tsuji from the Land Division. D8 is a request from the Waikiki for a right of entry for beach activities from the Waikiki Community Center. We're recommending the event be gratis. They're trying to raise some funds for its operations, and these are the nonprofit that runs out of Waikiki.
Okay, questions? No questions? Do you want to add anything? Any testimony on this?
Not just support.
Thank you. Okay. Is there a motion to approve D8 as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Russell, D3.
Okay, D3 is a two items that we're requesting for this Big Island niece, J.H. Moku. It's a request for a 30, authorizing the division to enter a development agreement with J.H. Moku for the extension, 30-year extension of its lease. They're proposing to put in quite substantial improvements in exchange for this 30-year lease. The second request is a consent to sublease, and we articulate that in the submittal. The one thing I want to amend in this submittal, because and to save for a later date, is the issue about rent participation, because I found out today that the lessee disagrees, and we're going to consult with our Attorney General on that. It came up in connection with a amendment we did back in 15, which allowed them for, they were on the 55, and we allowed the 10-year extension to 65-year lease. This is an additional 30 beyond that today. But in that extension, there was an amendment done to the provisions that allowed for rent participation in the context, in the event of subleasing. But we're going to check with the AGs to make sure that the language is appropriate to allow the board to decide if it wishes to participate in any of the sublease rents, because it would be making $300,000, I understand, on the sublease rent. And so our recommendation had been $16,000, but I want to leave that for another day, depending on what the Attorney General says.
So, are you amending the recommendation?
Yeah, I think it should be. The recommendation.
Number one, well, is this development agreement. Number two is the
concern authorized.
Is the sublease.
Maybe just add a condition that reserving the rent participation, sublease rent participation for consultation with
and
the Attorney General.
If you guys don't come to agreement on that, then obviously you wouldn't proceed with this until you...
Yeah, we're going to have to check with the AGs on the language. The intent of the language, or how it can be interpreted. Okay.
So you'll have to come back on the rent thing?
Only, we'll be back only if the Attorney General concludes that the board has that right to participate via that amendment. I'm only bringing this up because I looked at the language. It's kind of a little unusual language, and I think Linda Chow had a view. Meanwhile, the Deputy Attorney General who did the amendment has a different view, and so they're going to bring it, consult with the Attorney General about that amendment, about the sublease rent provision.
I just want to make sure what we're authorizing is clear.
So we're authorizing the extension, the 30-year extension, plus consenting to the sublease, reserving any participation for possibly coming back to the board or not. If the Attorney General decides, well, we don't really have a right, to, the board doesn't have a right via that amendment, then that issue is dead, and then we just forget.
And then the rest of the terms
still
would
apply, the extension
apply.
And the consent. Yes. Because we are consenting, we do want to, you know, recommend the consent, I mean, to sublease.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Chair, basically the last paragraph before the recommendation section, so that's where it talks about the rent participation for the sublease. So basically that would be the provision that is not going to be applied.
For now, yeah. For now.
Say that again, Linda, please.
The last paragraph before the recommendation section.
So staff is recommending that the board increase the annual lease rent by $16,105.
Yeah. So that will not be applied under Russell's current suggestion.
Yeah. Okay.
And to be determined later by the Attorney General.
Okay.
I think that we should be satisfactory to lessee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter Kubota, good morning, Madam Chairwoman, members of the board. I'm Peter Kubota, representing J.H. Mokuola. This is Miles Sakani, who's one of the principals of J.H. Mokuola. And I can further explain our position, and I have a submittal on this matter. Basically, we certainly concur and request approval of the 30-year extension, and there's no doubt about that one. As to the approval of the sublease, the staff recommendation had a rent participation policy increase in there of $16,000 per year. And I looked at the terms of the lease, which is really the governing document, and the rent increase does not apply based on the language. Basically, it said that if the underlying lease is based on a percentage rent, then the board can.
Okay, so 16105 is the proposed participation rent, and so We're going to have this follow-up discussion, and if everyone agrees that it doesn't apply, we would take that out.
Yes.
But if we agree that it does, if we think it does apply and you don't agree, then presumably you won't move forward until you agree on what that is.
No, actually...
All I'm trying to do is make sure our decision is clear.
Yes, Madam Chairman. This, I think, I'm not familiar with your practice here. This is only the second time appearing here. But I think the most practicable way is to approve the consent to the sublease. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like Russell had suggested, take out the language. And we will work with DLNR staff to determine the proper sublease premium, if there is any. I think that if your Deputy Attorney General reviews the language, I think she's going to come to the same conclusion that there is no provision for rent participation. So it'll be either way. Either it'll be on what we believe it is or is what the state does. But I would like to get the consent because the proposed tenant is ready to move in and they really need the space.
Okay.
Mr. Quarter, just to let you know that the statute does allow participation. So this language was supposed to be mirroring the statute. It kind of doesn't.
Okay, so we're going to approve, we're going to vote on this as is. And, you know, if there's something that still needs to be worked out, I guess you guys can, we'll come back on it.
Well, I think that we would, let's see, It says with the subject, number one is fulfill the applicant requirement listed above, which I think includes the increase of 16,105. So I think we delete that. So we do amend this. And we say that if the AG determines the state is not entitled to participate, then that's it. If the state, the AG says that the state is entitled and the applicant disagrees, then it has to be brought back to the board.
That's very practical.
But wouldn't you leave it in there? And so it's authorized. And if they don't come to agreement, then they're not going to sign the sublease and it'll come back to the board. Because if you take it out now, if it is authorized, we're not authorizing it.
Well, I think, okay, we should authorize it.
Yeah. I would just leave it as is. And understand that this, you know, if there's a problem with it, the staff will have to bring it back.
Right. If they disagree with either the amount or the entitlement, then it gets brought back to the board.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. With that understanding, I think we can leave it the same.
Okay. So we're going to leave it as is. But if it, you know, if it turns out to be wrong, they'll bring it back.
We've got a consent for the sublease today, but they will hold off on executing until we wrap.
All right. May I submit? Madam Chairman, I just have like a two-page memo on this, highlighting the two sections.
Okay.
I have multiple copies.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not hearing them say that the 16,000 is an actual deal breaker, but they don't want to pay it if they don't.
Right.
They're not legally entitled to,
okay.
to pay it. So.
Any other testimony on this?
I'll get a copy.
Yeah.
I have a question here.
Pass it down.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Kubota, you folks are okay on this, how it's going to pack?
Yeah, that makes sense, you know, because there's still going to be another further approvals and the board sign off on it. So I think we can resolve this fairly quickly. To me, the language is pretty clear on the lease.
Okay.
But whichever way it goes, we want to continue with the sublease.
Okay.
Can I ask Russell a question?
Yeah.
When is the 86,000, the base lease, when was that determined? And when does it get reopened?
The what number?
The base lease for the ground rent is 85 something, right?
Probably when we had the extension.
Okay, it says that. 2018 through, Well.
Yeah, I think because they're 55. They asked for 10 years.
Yeah.
That was under
so it just got reopened.
Yeah, this act allows for an additional period, so they're asking today for 30. So in fact, adding about 40 from the original 55-year term.
Right.
Yeah. The sublease rent of $300,000. Honestly, given the size of the building, indicates that maybe our $85,000 was a little low, but that's what we came. That's what the appraisal came to.
I believe so. I mean, I can't remember if that was by appraisal, mediation, or
appraisal.
Okay, Mr. Yeager. I'll tell you, the Gila Rents industrial is not very. It's not. It's kind of stagnant, or even sometimes even dropping right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
From several years ago. So.
Mr. Yuen, in answer to your question, I believe the rent was determined by the appraiser in about 2016, so just about 2-3 years ago. So that was the market determined by, I believe, your guys' appraisers.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Any public testimony on this? If not, is there a motion to approve as submitted?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have a question.
Thank you very much.
What is Maui Varieties Investments? Who are they for Maui?
They're island wide.
That's the Kamitake family, Wayne Kamitake guys, Ben Franklin, and Ace Hardware. Okay. I think they're originally from Maui, so that's why they use the name, but they're all over the state.
And you're going to move the Ace Hardware. Is the Ace Hardware going to move into this spot? Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, they are. Okay. We'll still be there too, but. There's a separate building and they're moving in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's do D4 next.
I don't know if I'm supposed to come up or not. I'm here just a minute.
Our staff will come up first. And
okay,
okay. D4.
This is just a consent to assignment for this new OE lease. I don't have anything to add on this one.
Okay, any questions for them? Any questions? Okay, any public testimony on this? Now, is there a motion to approve D4 as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Let's see. Go for here. Let's do F1.
This is strange.
Servicing that is D4. Was that D4?
Yeah. We just did D4.
D4 is Nellie's, right?
No.
No, not in our binder. But I see here on the move up
I
agenda.
I see. It's a yeah.
On the letter,
wrong.
It says that agenda item D4.
Okay. It might have moved around. Which?
Nellie's on Mount.
Okay, I'll come back to that. Okay, F1.
Sure, aloha, Chair, members of the board, Maria Carnevale, States Manager for Papanaumokuakea. Item F1 is a request for authorization and approval for a Papanaumokuakea Marine National Monument research permit for Dr. Meyer of HIMB of the University of Hawaii for access to state waters to conduct research activities quantifying movements in ecology of top predators. I have no changes. It's gone through multi-agency review and endorsement, and the recommendation as is with the special conditions as listed and approved. Applicant is here for any questions.
Okay, any questions, board members? Not? Any public testimony on this? If not, is there a motion to approve F1?
So moved.
Submitted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, D6.
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 Okay, this is a request for a right of entry on Maui for the purposes of going on to state unencumbered land, the shoreline area, in order to demolish a seawall that's failing. And so the recommendation from the agencies as well, our internal agencies, OCCL, and I think DAR, we had a recommendation as well to concur with the demolition of this wall. The applicant, as you know, is here.
Okay, any questions, board members? Okay, applicant, want to add anything?
No, just here for you.
Okay, any public testimony on D6? If not, is there a motion to approve D6 as submitted?
So moved as submitted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Okay, M1 through 16.
There was on the second page.
Do we have voting guys here? Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, Ross, why don't you come on up and then we'll do J3.
morning, Chair, Board Members. Ross Smith from the Department of Transportation Airports Division for items 1, M1 through 16.
Okay, let's just say, Board Members, any questions on any of these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
M16.
Yes.
How is this going to affect Southwest Airlines? They just got approval, I mean, within the last year or so to go into Kauai.
Yes.
And why does Hawaiian Airlines get priority over Southwest Airlines?
It's not necessarily its preference over it, but its preferential preferential hold room is granted if you have at least 6 turns. So you arrive and depart, because you have 6 flights in and out. You can have a preferential hold room if you request it. In Hawaiian's case, of course, they have a lot more than that, so I have 3.
So where does Southwest end up having to go with their passengers?
It will be in whatever gate is available to them at the time that they arrive. There will not be a specific gate necessarily that is set aside for them. They might be in 1, 2, or 3, or 4, 5, or 6.
How many holds are there so far?
I don't know exactly what their schedule is. Right, I haven't looked at to see what it is. I can't tell you what.
Do they have a preferred hold room already?
No.
So right now there's no hold room. All of the gates are open.
They do not have one. They could be in any of the gates that are available at the time that they arrive. So that as when depending upon what the schedule is around their arrival and departure, the operations guys would actually assign the gate.
We're trying to. I'm not.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I'm just trying to. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm with you.
I think that we're trying to improve competition. And if we're giving preference to Hawaiian all the time and not giving some preference to Southwest, then we're not helping the competition as much. And so my instincts are, especially in Kauai, a lot of tourists come in straight from the mainland. Mm-hmm. That we should give preference to Southwest so that they can make money and stay here. Because whatever happens on Kauai and Kona and Honolulu filters down to the other airports like Hilo, we don't want them to run away. We want them to stay here.
The definition for a preferential hold room requires that the airline have 6 turns at that location. So if they have a schedule that allows for that number of arrivals and departures, they can select a gate that they think is that they would like to operate from.
Is this a written policy that we're bound to, or is this just the mana'o of the airports division staff that you speak of, sir?
It came from airports.
But what is it? Is it a written? Is it a written policy that binds the Board of Land and Natural Resources, Ross, or is it just an internal policy that we can change if it appears inequitable?
I believe you could change it. It is something that we, the Airports Division, did create, and it was done so that if you had an area or an airline that had a heavy use, they would know that they could get into, let's say, gate 13 or whatever gate it is on the overseas terminal right now. You have Alaska doing that. They have a preferential gate for 2 gates, I believe. So that just happens to fit into their schedule of the number of turns during a day.
I think that's all the questions I have, Chair. I'd like to hear what other board members have to say.
So how many gates are there in Lihue?
We're going from three, I think, to eight.
So you have eight.
No. Gates three to eight.
Oh, gates three to eight. And so are any of them already a preferential hold?
Yes, Hawaiian has two.
Hawaiian has two.
Yes.
Out of six.
Two out of six.
Let me see, six. Two, four, I think there are eight. Sorry.
Well, I mean, if you have gates three to eight,
yeah.
That means you have six gates.
I'm just looking, trying to visualize it. There are two gates, and then there is a break where you have your restaurant and things, and you have another two more, so it's actually eight.
Eight gates. Yeah.
So there's eight, and Hawaiian has two.
Yes.
And does anybody else have any preferential holds?
No.
Okay, so if we did this preferential hold, there'd still be plenty of...
Yes.
Room for others.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's it going? Those are my same questions.
Yeah.
We had this discussion
two weeks ago
In connection with Hilo Airport.
Yes.
And basically, we were a little concerned, mm-hmm. and we wanted to be sure that one airline was not going to get a preferential hold on... To the extent that this may be a competitive advantage to have a guaranteed gate that they always use, that one airline wasn't going to monopolize the preferential holds. That's.
Did we defer it to?
Yeah, I think we need to stop.
Was this for another?
Because we don't have.
We don't have a quorum.
We should just stop the discussion for a minute, Chair.
Okay.
So we deferred action on that, and I'm not saying, you know, bring Hilo back.
Yes, we will.
Bring Hilo back, but with the answers to these kinds of questions.
Okay.
For myself, I think I'm okay with Kauai. If they have two hold rooms, two gates tied up, and there are six, and I can't see why these two would be that much better than... the others?
No, they're actually not.
Okay.
Well, the only difference is that they're closer to baggage claim than everything is in the other ones.
Yeah.
So it's a longer walk from when you get off the aircraft to baggage claim. Yeah. Although they have it split, so it's not that bad. But from one portion it is, and the other portion is still depends where the gates are. Yeah.
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. Did you have any discussion about this with... board member Kalihoi?
No, I did not.
I remember him talking to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
No? Fine.
Well, you know, maybe we should defer because the Kauai member is not here.
Yeah, maybe we should.
And we can come back and give you a more detailed reason for the process that we have.
And also, you know, bring Hilo back. Hilo was a lot more money.
Yeah.
But
don't we put a time frame on this? Because if we defer it for 180 days, it passes, right?
No, that's not the same.
It's you guys can bring it back as soon as you
yes.
want.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just emphasize, figure out an equitable arrangement so that you take care of the airline that has the most passengers, but you also take care of an airline that needs to grow so that we have better competition in our airports.
Okay.
I don't know how those two things mix together, but maybe they're mutually exclusive, but I think that with your background, Mr. Smith, you can come up with a formula.
Sure.
I think we're just trying to make sure all the good sites don't get popped.
That's correct.
And
I agree.
Let me just put out that all of the airlines know the preferential gates calculation, and not all of them want to participate. For example, United Airlines and Honolulu could have preferential gates, but they've decided not to.
Do they have to pay more?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There is a...
Yeah,
there is.
This is $12,000 a month.
Yes, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right.
But
yes.
Hawaiian
right.
never paid before, but
they decided
it's worth it.
Okay, so we're going to defer M16.
Okay.
Any other questions on M1 through 15?
No.
Any public testimony? Not. Is there a motion to approve M1 through 15?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have to vote to defer the other one? We'll just withdraw it. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
So who's doing M17? Nobody? Did you do that?
We didn't do 17.
M7?
M17 hasn't come up.
We haven't done it yet.
Okay.
J3?
Okay, J3.
Morning, Chair, Board Members, Richard Howard for voting. J3 is an after-the-fact consent to sublease under Harbor Lease H82-4, GKM Inc. as a sublessor in Dolphin Journeys, LLC as the sublessee at the Honokahau Small Boat Harbor. The term of the sublease is from December of 2017 through November of 2022, and it is attached as Exhibit B in the submittal.
Any questions, board members? No questions. Okay, any applicant here? Anybody want to add anything? Yes, sir.
Chair Case, members of the board, I'm Michael Gibson. I represent GKM. We're in support of the after-the-fact consent. We do have some disagreement about some of the remarks, but they're really not worth getting into today. So we support the after-the-fact consent.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Any other public testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve J3 as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Great. Okay, J2. No, wait. J1.
J1 is the issuance of a revocable permit to the Kaneohe Cultural Foundation for storage of canoes on state shoreline. This is just seaward of the Kaneohe Beach Park. The applicant is here to answer any questions if the board has any.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Monk. Who signed up for testimony? I don't know if he's here now. He was.
He might be outside.
He might be outside.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Can I have us? He's going to go it up.
No. Came all the way in.
Hi,
man. Hi. I'm with the Kaneohe Cultural Foundation for awareness to say that we're just wondering what place we put our canoes, because our Heakea boat harbor is just running out of land with the high king tide, so we just need another area, because this is the last of the areas in Kaneohe Bay.
It's so, running out of space because why?
The king tide, and it's just eating up. I got some beaches. The beach is just running over. So I just thought that I asked them for a permit at our Kaneohe Beach Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? I'm interested in seeing your pictures.
Sure. The whole thing, I guess, in the back end on it.
I'm sorry. Did you state your name?
Clint. Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning, everybody. I'm Clint Anderson from the Kaneohe Cultural Foundation.
So the real reason for this is because of the higher tides?
Well, we have like 14 canoes, and if you look at the, some of the canoes is underwater. Yeah, so we at Heakea Boat Harbor, it's just, at one time, if you see some pictures of the cleanup, we have some kids cleaning up over there. Oh. That used to be a beach at one time. If you see the canoes, all the one-man canoes, used to have beach before, and that's about 7 years ago. Now it's just running out of space. So we're looking forward for a future, and that's the only place that we could move on to.
And is the area big enough for you guys and for the public too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate having the photos. That they're important for us.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions? Any testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve J1 as submitted?
I have one more question,
Chair. Sorry. Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
For whom?
This Anderson, is it?
Yes.
Okay. When you have the double hull, this double hull half in the ocean.
Yeah.
On your picture,
yeah.
The double hull is in the ocean.
Yes. We put them on tires, which elephant tires,
okay,
as we go along.
But still in the ocean. So you get limo on the boat when the kids, you know, you practice with.
No, they go so fast it comes off.
So there's no other option but to have it like this.
Yeah.
No more place.
No.
Our club had double hull, but we wouldn't leave them in the water.
No, that's above land, but that's king tide. That's not even a real high king tide. We got to tie them up to trees and all that just for the ocean or take away the boat.
And but no more place, Mauka.
We're trying, but we got nothing from the city. They're across the street. We've been trying for years, from 2003. I've been trying to get some kind of area, but they just sliced off. We've been trying forever. But there's nothing. There's just us, the highway, Cam Highway, Commitment Highway, and that's it. So it's the safety part, too, that we cannot go across the street. And no place else on the left or the right. Yeah, we just put up more tires and lift up the boat higher when the tide come up. That's all we can do. Just use our common sense.
Very unfortunate.
And then we also put, if you see some pictures getting nets over there blocking off the front, because sometimes the king tide can take out the canoe, so we put cargo nets for go across.
Yeah.
But we manage.
You got 14 canoes, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We stack them, double stack on top of each other, the armor like that. Mm-hmm. They're not just in, well, we got like three in the store, yeah. All on top, armors on top of each other, the yakus. So yeah, I've been there from 73, so from 73 to today, it's a lot of big changes. 45 years I've been there. So I'm just from paddling to coach to president, just to continuing this culture.
Where exactly is it now?
Here, Boat Harbor.
At the Boat Harbor.
Well, we're talking about Canoe Beach Park.
Oh, when you go in the Boat Harbor, it's on the left?
Oh, right on the left-hand side, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you're moving from there to this area.
Well, we're just trying to find another. Yeah, take so many canoes.
Please get all the trees. Don't get clear of
them. The old picture?
You get trees inside.
That's actually, it's all wiped out. That's old pictures. There's no beach anymore. As what you see the kids cleaning up, there's nothing but rocks now.
Oh,
it's gone. Goodness. It's gone. That was an old, old picture,
okay.
About 10 years ago. If I took a picture now, you wouldn't see that sand, wouldn't see the trees, it's all gone.
Okay, just thank you.
So,
Okay, thank you. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, any other testimony? Did we vote?
No.
Okay, is there a motion to approve J1?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great, thank you. Okay, J4.
Item J4 is the approval of installation outside of an established offshore mooring area after the fact at Kaanapali Lahaina. And we have our engineer, Finn McCall, here to answer any questions about the mooring or about the submittal.
Thank you. Okay, any questions? No questions.
Were there some findings that we were supposed to make? Is this one of those?
Hi, I'm Finn McCall. I'm the engineering branch head for Dilbar. So what was the question?
Were there any findings in this one? Just to clarify.
Proximity to the Disney. What is the proximity to the nearest designated mooring area?
I don't know the exact distance. You can see it on the offshore mooring plan. It's attached to the submittal.
Hi, my name is Michael Walker. I'm the Fire Protection Forester, State of Hawaii, Division of Forestry and Wildlife. I'm trying to run a group of boards on AR, and none of them are being populated by any data.
Mike.
Okay.
Mike.
Use this on Wednesday. Mike.
Mike Walker, you're on the webinar.
He hit the wrong.
Yeah.
Hit the wrong button.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You
can't really see where the offshore mooring area is. But for Kaanapali in general, it's really very small. And there's really no room for additional moorings in the existing offshore mooring area.
So this is near it.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have to make a finding?
Yeah, so I'm pulling up the rule right now. So 13235-9B1 says that the owner of the vessel, there aren't two more vessels outside of designated mooring area, may be issued a permit provided that there is no designated mooring area within a reasonable distance of the desired location specified in the permit application. So, where is the nearest designated mooring area, and is it outside of a reasonable distance from the mooring that is being asked for?
Could we read that to mean, including there's no space in the designated mooring area? Isn't that maybe the intent of this?
Well, I think the intent is that everybody, that they should be in designated mooring
areas. If possible.
And this only captures the issue of if there's not a designated a mooring area in a nearby, reasonably nearby.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're wanting to moor 20 feet outside of the designated mooring area, should that be allowed?
So I guess what we would read that to say is that there is no mooring available in a designated area.
I think that's a common sense reading of that. Okay. I think we can simply make that finding and based on what's been said here and I don't think we have to amend the submittal. Is that an amendment, or should we say board finds that there's no available mooring within a reasonable proximity?
Oral finding, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I have some.
Yeah.
Is there any specs, let's say the size of chain that you have to use? Because I've seen all this after the fact. I'm reading it. Some chains are 3/4 inch. Some are 7/8. Some are 1 inch. Mm-hmm. And then you have some that is, although the Army Corps of Engineers signed off on it, is there any kind of stipulation or regulation of the size of the chain it has to be?
No, there's no actual specification for what size chain you're supposed to have, but what we do is we have the offshore mooring permittees have a structural engineer verify that the size of the chain is adequate for the loads that would be imparted by the vessel.
So with this particular one, they also have railroad ties that they use for anchors, axles, and so forth. I guess that has been approved by the Army Corps of Engineers, I guess, so your structural people to be sound enough. Mm-hmm. Rather, and you see some other ones after the fact that they did put some to spec of the new moorings that's allowed now. But this one must be pretty old to use old railroad axles.
You know. Yeah, right. And so that's why we rely on the structural engineer that's hired by the applicant to verify that all the mooring components are adequate.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we have some public testimony on this. Oh, sorry, is the applicant here? No. Okay. Kai Nishiki. And Lance Collins.
Aloha, Kai Nishiki, came over from Maui.
I have quite a few concerns. I'm really concerned that we are here discussing a mooring outside of a designated area when this area has had an increase in commercial activity, and a lot of it unlawful commercial activity. And there's an issue as far as the swim zone buoys and the buoys for the canoe paddlers and the ingress egress markers for all of the catamarans, jet skis, all the beach landings. Those have not been replaced for many, many years. We have been sending letters. We've sent requests, numerous, to yourself, Suzanne Case, as well as Dobar, Oahu, and in Maui. And here we are talking about allowing this commercial company to be outside of the area, and we don't even have the areas defined there. So we have boats coming in right in on the beach. We have people constantly making complaints about that. So I think it's really premature to be looking at increasing commercial activity in this area when we have not even addressed the safety of the millions of visitors that are coming there, and all of our residents, and our keiki who practice canoe paddling and fishing cultural practices in this area, and they are not safe. They are in danger of being run over every single day because there are no swim zone buoys in this area. This ORMA is being completely mismanaged, completely, or not even managed at all. So I am very concerned about that. I do not believe that they should be exempt from environmental review. Just because moorings are an exemptable item, the impacts of this practice, they need to be looked at. We have Native Hawaiians as part of our group, Napapa'i, and they are Opelo fishermen, they are canoe clubs, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this area, Jimmy, I know that you are, but Hanaka'o'o is the last place for canoe clubs to have a place of their own on the west side. The west side is just completely over-touristed. We're over capacity, in the words of our council member. And at the Maui County Council just recently, we are going to have commercial practices banned from Hanaka'o'o. And we are also asking for cultural designation of that area. And overwhelmingly, everyone's testimony was, this is the last beach for local people to come and relax. And everywhere else is just filled with tourists. Kaanapali is right there to the right. And Hanaka'o'o is very special. We have cultural practices of fishing and canoe practices going on. And I don't even think that Ahamoku was consulted at all. I'm sure that Keamoku would definitely have some comments about this. And with the Maui County Council just recently banning commercial activity at Hanaka'o'o, they don't even want the jet skis where they're located. They are right in front of where canoe practices and regattas are happening, and it's just not the right place. So we need to keep the commercial activity down in the Kaanapali area, and it needs to be done safely. I can't even stress to you folks how important it is to have those buoys and the ingress egress markers in place. The fact that they've been missing for years, and that I have sent numerous emails about this, I mean, I'm shocked that we're talking about allowing more commercial activity in this area when it's an accident that I promise you is going to happen. A race official was already killed just a few years ago setting up the buoys in that area, and there have been numerous close calls. I have several videos on my phone that show boats in on the shoreline area right next to children swimming, and they're not even they're not even doing slow, no wake. And we have made complaints to DoCare, and DoCare officers called me and said, you know what, I can't even cite these guys because there's no swim zone buoys. They're going to come here and they're going to fight it. They're going to say, there's no buoys. How am I supposed to know that I'm not supposed to be there? And they're right. So until our safety concerns are addressed, until our keiki are safe, we should not be discussing any kind of commercial activity expansion. And I think that, you know, we have a lot of members on Maui, and they can't pay money to come over and fly over for the meetings and take time off of work. So I just feel that there should be a little more community outreach, or there should be some meetings held so that we could get some input that could be brought here, so you folks would be a little more informed of the gravity of the situation there. And I know that Jimmy is aware, because I've been emailing him about the concerns about the swim zone buoys and the ingress egress markers. So
I forward that over to Ed Underwood.
Yes.
And even though Orma's coming back, but I understand that we don't have the buoys and so forth, but we should not have this right where this park is.
Yeah.
Until it's resolved.
Yeah.
Because it's a huge safety issue. And it's not only you coming after us. So I have moved the concerns of whatever I've had from the public out of Maui back to the division, and it says we're going to work on it. But I do agree with you saying that in this particular case, I don't think it's a win-win for our KTs and for the application of that area.
Mahalo. And the ORMA is completely mismanaged. If you ask anyone, any of the canoe clubs down there, if you ask the boating people down there, it's like hands off. We don't even know what the Maui chief over there is doing.
Is this proposed mooring in the way of the canoes?
It's right outside of the area, and the canoe paddlers groups that I've been speaking with are getting a petition together to request that it not be anywhere in Honokolo.
We've also had jet skis with close incidents with the keikis and so forth,
mm-hmm.
or even not only keikis, people swimming.
Yes.
And with the jet skis being considered almost getting run over.
Yeah, I know we probably forwarded some of the videos. It's a very dangerous situation.
Chair.
Yep.
Go ahead. Okay, Tommy. I mean, Jimmy.
Go ahead.
So, the canoe race that goes to Molokai, it starts right here?
I'm not a canoe paddler, and I'm not familiar with all of the regattas that happen. But this Hanako'o is the main, it's the only place left in West Maui. All of the canoe clubs that used to be all along West Maui have all got pushed down to Hanako'o. So now they're all there. And that, you know, they're telling me that the customers for all of these commercial activities, they're parking at Hanako'o Beach Park, and they're also landing right there, right on the beach. And so it's a real concern.
There's a race that goes from Maui to Molokai every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a preliminary to the Molokai Hoi. And Big Island sends really a lot of crews to that race. And a year or two ago, somebody got chewed up in the propeller.
Mm.
And I don't know if this is the spot where it occurred. I think it is. A Waihini got very badly injured. She got chewed up in the propeller. I think it was just when the race is starting somewhere in that area. But I wish I could remember the name of the race.
I think that is where they launch from, but if it isn't, it's actually to the south, and they still have to go through this area.
They have to go through this area.
Yeah, to get to Molokai.
Well, it sounds like a board member Gomes is familiar with this, but we have the same problem at the on the big island at Keoho, a very narrow bay there, and we have canoe races starting right there, and we have one-man races starting, and we have boats coming in tied up right in the Keoho Bay area. We have the same problem at Honokohau, on one-man canoe races, boats coming in and going out. So if that's what is there, it sounds like, and that comes under our Kuleana, sounds like we ought to have some kind of a master plan for that area. But I don't know how much our jurisdiction overlaps with Maui County's jurisdiction. We don't want to step on their toes, but maybe we ought to have some kind of a plan to map out so people know where it's safe to swim. The small kids know where it's safe to swim. The canoe paddlers, they know where it's safe to go. And the commercial people know where it's safe for them to be, so that we don't have a nasty incident where somebody gets part of their head chewed by a propeller in one of these commercial vessels, and then we have a huge lawsuit against the state and everybody involved, and that just has a very dampening effect on our ocean recreation. But we don't want that either.
I completely agree, and also I also remember that some of the canoe paddlers had said that they store a lot of oil and gas out on those moorings, and it's constantly leaking off into the water, so it's also affecting the water quality and the health and safety of our kids, you know, having to swim through that or dive or even fish through that.
I missed what your name was.
My name is Kai Mishiki.
Okay, and do you have some official position there, or just occupied person?
I'm just a community volunteer.
Okay.
And I have a loose group of a few thousand people on the west side, mostly, that are concerned about shoreline issues and ocean activities and shoreline access and things that affect our community involving
County
the
Council,
shoreline.
County Council, the Shiki family?
That's yes.
That's her dad.
That's my dad.
Okay. I know him.
Oh, okay.
Okay, other questions?
I don't have anything more.
Personally, I think this particular J4 should be deferred, and let's go and resolve the issues that we have with the public, with all of the with all the stakeholders. And come to some kind of terms. It's not only coming from Lance and Kai here, it's the public itself that is reaching out for the danger. Divers with their dive flags, jet skis that run them over. When they get the canoe race, they're getting heated arguments outside on the shoreline because of the commercial activity versus their cultural activity. So it's not a win-win situation. So I personally think we should defer this.
I'm fine with deferring. I just have a couple of questions, and I don't know. Is there actually a designated swim zone, and it's not marked with buoys, or is there not a?
It's not marked.
There is one, but it's not marked.
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. And it has been brought many many times, but that's not defined.
In fact, there's some minutes of a meeting here where the zone was defined and the maps were put into place, and that there were also supposed to be commercial use permits, a permitting system put in place, and none of that has happened. None of it.
And the last reply I've had was that they're going to put it out to bid. They have some kind of, I sent you that too. Mm-hmm. They're going to put out to bid. That doesn't work, because even if you put it in, what about the other activities that's going on, other commercial activities?
And the issue, there's also an issue of that the swim zone buoys and the ingress egress markers, and the ingress egress markers are made so that the catamarans and people who are bringing people out to the jet skis, they have to go in between these markers, and only beach land in those areas. Those have been missing for at least 5 years. And when I've asked about why are they not in place, well, these catamaran operators don't know where to go. And when I ask, he tells me, Paul Sansano tells me, oh, the catamaran, we just rely on them to know where they're going. I says, yeah, but swimmers, canoe paddlers, anyone else, keiki,
recreation.
They don't know where those places are, so there needs to be those markers in place. And the issue also is that there needs to be a maintenance contract, not just an initial installation.
That's the biggest
there
deal.
There needs to be a maintenance contract. These swim zone buoys, it's the ocean. They get moved around, they come loose, they end up on the beach. I have numerous pictures. I report them to Paul Sansano every time. People tell me, oh, there's one down here on the beach. Oh, there's one over in Kanapali beached over here. Oh, we picked this up out in the ocean floating. So I call Paul Sansano. I'm like, hey, you know, here's the swim zone buoys. They're coming loose. Is there a maintenance contract? Oh, no, I haven't had time to do that. How long does it take? I don't understand. This needs to be a priority. Safety of our community, safety of the keiki need to be a priority.
Low bar.
Paul Sansano is.
He works under
okay, Chair, I have another.
Yep.
One of the things that we did in Kona was we got together with our legislators because some of this needs state CIP funding. And I think maintenance is an operating budget, but you're going to put buoys and various things. It's going to be a CIP thing. So maybe each House member and each Senate member gets a certain CIP allocation that they're entitled to. They divvy up, and then the legislators in the House and the Senate, the senators, they have, you know, maybe luncheon meeting, and they figure out how they're going to spend it. So you folks probably are familiar with who all those people are.
Oh, yeah.
And you folks,
Roz and Angus.
You want to get a maintenance contract, or you want to get buoys, or you want to get whatever. You folks need to have a group meeting to do this, because if you leave it to the Dobar officer to be the mastermind, you know, they're usually overworked and underpaid, and they don't have time to do all these things. So I think you have the right idea going forward. And if you folks get your legislators together with maybe whoever is the councilman for that area from the county and so forth, sounds like you folks are going in the right direction. And this matter gets deferred. It comes back next time we have some kind of a plan. And then maybe we won't have the risk as high that small kids going to get hurt.
I think that's a really great suggestion. And we have reached out to Roz and Angus. Unfortunately, there hasn't been any response this time around. I know in 2014, after someone was killed, there was a response. So I guess, you know, we're probably going to have to wait for one of our kids to get killed in the next accident, and then maybe they'll respond. But, like, Kanapali brings in probably the majority of tax revenue for Maui, and probably very close to Waikiki. So thinking about how much money Kanapali is bringing in, how many tourists are going in and into that area, and then to see us being neglected like this and treated like we're nothing, it's like, how can you do that when you guys are bringing in so much money for the state, yet we cannot even replace a swim zone buoy in 4 or 5 years? I mean, it can't cost that much money.
The hotel bosses, they have a stake in this too.
Oh,
they have some kind of a commercial boat with hotel guests in the boat, and the hotel has a relationship with the commercial vessel. The hotels might be on the hook too.
Well,
and that's why there's an incentive for the people who run the hotels there to get together and help this kind of situation, and not say, oh, you got to leave it to the locals. You know, we're an international corporation. We don't need to worry about you guys small potatoes. not the situation. They got to pitch in too. So when you folks reach out, you have a sit down with the manager or some executive officer of the hotel. You know, hey, you know what? You guys got to cuckoo on this too. You cannot just pretend that this isn't part of your kuleana, because it is.
Yeah, the Kanapali Operators Association, Wayne Hadani, have written letters as well about this issue. And in fact, they are party to a settlement that requires these buoys to be in place. And I have a copy of that settlement, and I forwarded that to Paul Sensano a couple of years ago as well, saying, look, Wayne Hadani from Kanapali Operators has also been telling you for years that this needs to be done. So it's not for lack of asking, begging, attempting to contact all the right people. It's just that the person who's supposed to be in charge of basically the only ORMA that we have on Maui, and it's not like he has 10 ORMAs to manage. He has one job. Manage our ORMA. Take care of the place that the Golden Goose, that's Kanapali for us. And when you can't even keep the residents, let alone the millions of visitors on that beach who are coming, safe, I don't know. Maybe we need to withhold some of that money just so that we can keep our people safe there.
And maybe that's what needs to be done.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah. Did you want to add anything?
Chair, I just wanted to say that...
state your name.
Oh, sorry, Lance Collins. I'm the attorney for the West Maui Preservation Association. I also represent Napapai'i.
Okay.
I just wanted to note that the meridian for the GPS coordinates is wrong, because 158 degrees west is like around Oahu. That's not Maui. So on the application and on the agenda, the GPS coordinates for the application is...
I noticed that too.
Okay. But I just wanted to, for the folks that aren't from Maui, to just really have an understanding of where this is. If you go out to the west side, there's the, when you're driving along the highway, there's the post office and the civic center, and there's like covered picnic tables that are right along the shoreline. So this is that area. And then as you go towards Kanapali, there's like a, you can pull into an actual beach park, and that's Hanaka'o Beach Park, and right now that's where all three of the West Side canoe clubs are all stationed, because they basically lost the rest of the West Side. So now they each have literally a little holly right next to each other, and all of the canoes are stored there, and that's where they have the regattas on the West Side.
And there's a graveyard right there.
Yeah, and there's a graveyard right behind.
And how far is it from Kanapali?
Next
door.
It's right next door, yeah. Basically, the beach park stops, and then the hotels start.
What are you, West Maui what association?
West Maui Preservation Association.
Okay.
So just to give some context. So the jet skis here are, like, if you look directly out into the ocean from the beach, they're right in front of this beach, which the county council it's going to pass because it's gone through the first reading, it's gone through all the committee stuff. They're designating that county beach as a purely non-commercial to protect this last space in Lahaina Town for local folks to be able to use.
This brings to mind that in Hilo Bay, we have the same issue with the jet skis and our Moho Hawaii Hawaiian Canoe Racing Association. And there was a plan set up, I guess it's a part of the ORMA, you call it, fancy words, ORMA,
mm-hmm.
that provide that the jet ski is only supposed to go in certain areas in Hilo Bay. They cannot go across the area where the paddling lanes are, and they're not supposed to go in the surf area when the surf is up during the winter months. They're not supposed to go there at all. They're supposed to stay around the, right by the breakwater. There's an area that they're about as big as a, you know, like a stadium, 440-yard track area, mm-hmm. where they're supposed to stay. Of course, they don't all stay there. A lot of them go outside when the waves are big. They come down by our house where I live,
and the waves get 10, 15 feet, and they tow in people into the big waves. There is a map for Gila Bay. You folks need that kind of map, and you need to, maybe you already have it, but you need to implement it. And in order to implement it, you might need county help. Maybe the lifeguards over there, county lifeguards, I don't know, but the county lifeguards have some kuleana on the shoreline, and then the state legislators, and then Department of Land and Natural Resources has its kuleana in there also. So folks got to get everybody together, and the operators and hotels, they got to know it. If they don't kukua, that graveyard over there is going to get bigger.
Okay, any other questions? Anything else? No.
Okay. I just wanted to say the reason why none of the canoe folks are here is because last week everybody took off to go to the county council to get the Hanukkah pass. So people can't like take unlimited times off and fly over here. So it was basically nobody, when we saw this on the agenda this week, everybody said they couldn't get time off and fly over.
You folks did a good job.
Thank you. Thanks. Tobor, want to add anything? Sounds like we're going to defer this, but anything to add so that we know?
I just wanted to add that we are, I'm putting my council bid to install the wind zone buoys and the navigation buoys. So that is going to be going out to bid, and we do, we'll be funded through our buoys.
So what happens after it's put out to bid? Will there be a maintenance contract? For how long?
For a year.
For a year.
After that year, we're going to issue another solicitation for maintenance.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, thanks. Any other public testimony? Okay, so, Council, do we need a motion to defer it? Or, I know we...
Yeah, it'd be better.
Okay.
Move to defer J4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thanks. Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody need a break? Hey, J2.
Okay, J2 is the renewal of 28 revocable permits on the islands of Oahu, Maui, Hawaii, and Kauai. Most of these permits, as we've indicated in the submittal, could and will be converted to long-term dispositions. In the interim, we're recommending, for the most part, a 3% increase in rents per year since the last increase, and those figures are on the Exhibit E. There's one permit 17, issued to Ma'alai Boat and Fishing Club that Dar had made a comment regarding their use and the fiberglass work that they were conducting out in the open and pressure washing the boats following the harbor. Staff did issue a notice of default to the permittee, and before this meeting I called the Maui District manager to see if they had cured, and his response was it appears that they have cured and that they are addressing the issues in Exhibit F, and so staff recommends that this permit 17 be renewed also.
You know, on that particular one?
Yes.
That's not the same area that where the old buses used
that,
to
that
be.
Is, that
and
is
then you had downstairs where used to be a clubhouse.
That is that area. Is. Yes.
Because there's a family there. It's kind of one of the organizers way back from the wife, and they were saying that because now it's temporary space because they're doing a new building, yes. Right? They're there, but they're saying that they're never going to get back in there, and they wanted to know why. I says, well, I think partly was because we don't know what we're going to do with that building. And it was in bad shape,
yeah.
You know, structurally.
Well, that is one of the permits that we plan to get board's approval to sell the lease on. excuse me. And I think once we do sell a lease, then that will, you know, help with these environmental problems, because right now the permittee can't spend a lot of money to do any kind of mitigation because they're on a month-to-month agreement essentially. So we do want to keep the use, the hall out, and basically the uses that were there previously. And you know, we do want to go out to lease. And as far as...
So you know, you said about the hall out.
Yes.
There's another issue with the hall out that the settlement is building up, you know, from all of the rain that we have on West Maui Mountains, comes out into the harbor. So they're getting a hard time to get in or get out. And so it's an ongoing issue for the boaters over there, and they're really complaining about that. Because a lot is a safety issue. If there's an emergency, you got to get out. Coast Guard, not so much Coast Guard, but other people got to get out. They can't get out because of the settlement that's in the harbor, in the pier, or the ramp going down.
Right.
And the other question I have is, I've been watching these RPs for a few years now.
Yes.
And you always see, always comes back, shortly. Yeah. What is shortly?
Well, in the submittal, I outlined, you know, 1 to 3 year time period for certain RPs to be converted, and 3 to 5 years for others. Well, in addition to myself, I work with 2 property managers. We're fully staffed now, and you know, they're competent and they want to work. And so I think that now that we have the staff, we can start getting these things turned around. And you know, there's been a lot of turnover in the property management section.
So my question is, what is shortly then?
Well,
1 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think 1 to 3 years.
1 to 3 years, guaranteed.
It's an ambitious schedule, and I can assure you that we're going to work on it. We'll do our best. If there's any holdups, we'll inform the board of what those holdups are.
No, it's not but so much the board, it's the people.
Yeah. Well, for example, on this first table, for some of the Maui ones, Maui Oil, Maui Petroleum, and there's another one, the Pacific Biodiesel, I believe. The board has already approved a concession for 3 concessions, one for biodiesel, one for diesel, and one for gasoline. And so one of the property managers who's in charge of Maui is already working on that. And so she's already starting the process of getting the concession going. For Ma'alaya, you know, Boat and Fishing Club, that's another priority for us. So that one's going to get going also. Previously, you had asked when we renewed the permit for the Mala Wharf, you know, what the status of that was. We got the appraisal back, and we've put together a package for the AG to draft the lease. So we're moving forward on these things. And as I said, you know, we're fully staffed, and I think we can making a dent.
There is a need that you are having where the district manager in Maui is requesting that the oil reclamation, get them off the piers, get it away, because the oils can go into the water, right? So I guess he's requesting, he's asking for the county to you know, have some place where they don't come to the piers anymore to dispose of reclamation or the harbor people. So I agree with him of having that, not an option, having it removed from the piers, just for environmental level. Diesel and fuel and so forth.
Richard,
yes.
Your maps and photos are beautiful. Thank you very, very much.
I'll let Carl know.
I have some questions.
I have one too.
Go ahead.
1 second. Dar's got another question about about number 17. They're using it as temporary space. And so is this a non-exclusive disposition?
I don't believe they have the entire building. I'm not that familiar with this particular permit.
I think they have the entire, not Malaya, but the state has it, DAR has it.
Yeah.
So they put, you know, they got
Well, they're using the
downstairs. Dahl uses the downstairs. Right. I think there's still some storage space that's used by Dobor. The upstairs, I think, is the parking. The people that manage the parking.
Yeah.
And for the record, your name is?
Brian Nielsen, Dahl administrator.
Thank you. Okay, so I think what we want to do is just make sure that
right.
when we approve this, it's a non-exclusive or...
Okay. I believe Malai is mostly using the haul out area, so I don't think it's necessarily the building at all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you wanted to add about that one? No. Okay. All right. Mr. Org.
One of the requests you make in the beginning of this is to put some of these RPs out to use the public auction.
Yes.
But you have some 501c3.
Yes.
So are you going to put the 501c3s out to public auction?
No, I think we'll do a direct lease.
Okay.
With 501c3s. I mean, we're doing one now in quite high, but we did get it appraised at market rent, and they are paying market rent. So the thought is that unless the 501c3 has a big public service component, that it will be put out, that we will get an appraisal and charge them market rent, even though they are, but we'll do a direct negotiation.
Five for one C3s, it may not be able to pay market value rent. I mean, that's the idea of 501c3s is they are designed to provide a community service that is good for the community, and that's why they get federal tax exemption. And so if I'm okay if their financial sheet shows that they can pay the rent, I'm fine with that, but we have 501c3s and 501c4s all over the place on the Big Island in the various Dobor areas. So when you say that you're going to put it out to public auction, the first thing you're going to do with the 501c3s is try to tailor a negotiated lease with the what their income and expenses are so that they can keep functioning. Is that a fair statement?
Well, the one that we're doing in Kauai High, we did...
Tell me about which one in Kauai High.
This is for the Jupiter Foundation, and that'll be Jupiter Foundation.
Okay.
And that'll be coming before the board shortly to approve the direct lease. We did the appraisal first so that they knew, you know, what the rent would be. And they agreed to it. And so we're moving forward with the process.
Fine.
I think that's the way we'd handle the other ones.
I know that you have the Makali'i people at Kauai.
That's going to stay on an RP.
Okay. They'd probably be interested in a long-term lease too.
Well, I think that one would probably, for example, let me go back to one that the board approved already, this Naui Lu'ili Yacht Club. The board approved the direct lease with KSA at a known rent, a nominal rent. And so I think that, you know, maybe that would, for organizations like that, that could be the template to follow.
So they do come back anyway, right? The long-term leases, so.
Yeah, we'll have to come in for approval.
Yeah. So I think that this is a good idea to what you're up to give these people more security where they are and helps them to grow and helps the community, especially the commercial ones as well as the 501c3s. And so I think what your general idea is a good one. Hmm. Just a fine tuning.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, any other questions? Nope. Okay, any public testimony?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, let's see. Denver Kuhn, is that you?
No.
Nope.
He left.
Denver. He left. Okay, and then Jan Alejandro. Why don't you go and then you can go. No, you don't have anything to say? Okay, come on.
Good morning. John Swanson with Horizon Specific. We have RP number 35. And mine was really just a question. If this is approved, is it approved at the rates suggested for fiscal year 2020?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't receive any notification that our payment would go up 9%, and we're already paying $3,000 a month for 63 square feet, and then going up 9% from that, you know, pretty substantial already relative to other RPs on the tables here. So I guess my question is, how did you determine a 9% increase?
9% increase was recommended. We did an appraisal in 2016 of all the revocable permits, and the appraiser recommended a 3% increase per year. The rent has not been adjusted for 3 years, and so we get 3% per year, 9%. With Horizon's RP, I believe that when that RP was issued, it was issued almost like a concession in that it was a closed bid.
Right.
And you bid the amount that you wanted.
Correct.
For that part, for that room, right? At
Correct.
Kaibokona. So it was not a negotiation between Dobor and yourself. It was what you thought the thing was worth, right? When you submitted your bid.
It was what we were willing to pay for that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, as I said, the appraisal recommended a 3% increase per year.
This is the one on Kailua Pier.
Correct.
The concession. Right.
Well, it's an RP. You do tourist information, concierge kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of a broad stroke. And how about with the regattas? There's plenty of those down there every year, and we participate in helping with the coordination. And similar to on Maui, there's just lots of commercial operations out there, so we want to play our part and help them facilitate everything.
Okay, thanks. Any other testimony? Okay, if not, is there a motion to approve as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? No. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, that's all I have signed up to testify. I'm going to move up. Who else is here for an item? You're waiting on which one are you waiting on?
J10.
You know what? I would like to take a short break.
Sure.
Okay.
You got my message?
No.
Huh?
In my
pocket. 11:28
break. Just let me know.